Thank you for joining me today. This is the start of a new week as we go coast to coast on the God Is broadcast and around the world on the God Is podcast. Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Yesterday was Resurrection Sunday. You may call it Easter. And I trust that you were able, if physically able, to be in church with the people of God on this very special day of celebration for Christ's followers. We believe wholeheartedly in the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. And this week on God Is, I want to talk with you about Jesus coming back from being physically dead. And to get us started, I want to ground us in three Bible passages. Let's put our feet down in three firm plots of God's soil in His Word. The first is in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28. If you've been joining us regularly for God Is, then you know we follow Jesus through Matthew chapters 26 and 27 on His way to the cross. And on Friday, we left off in Matthew chapter 27. And now I want to pick up, continuing to follow Christ in Matthew's Gospel in chapter 28. Today, let me read for you Matthew 28, verses 1 through 10, and then 16 through 20. If you have your Bible, please follow along. This is Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 through 10, and then I will move down to verses 16 through 20. Are you ready? This is God's Word to your mind and heart. Now, after the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to look at the grave. And behold, a severe earthquake had occurred, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled away the stone and sat upon it. And his appearance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. The guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who has been crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, just as he said. Come, see the place where he was lying. Go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." And they left the tomb quickly, with fear and great joy, and ran to report it to his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and greeted them. And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshipped Jesus. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and take word to my brethren to leave for Galilee, for there they will see me." And now I am going down to verses 16 through 20 in Matthew 28. The 11 disciples proceeded to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had designated. When they saw Jesus, they worshipped him. But some were doubtful. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." What I have just read to you is God's very word in the last chapter of the first book of the New Testament, Matthew. Remember, I said I have three passages into which we will sink the feet of our souls. And the second and third are found further along in the New Testament in the Apostle Paul's letter to the church in Corinth. In our Bibles, we have 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians. I'm thinking of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. In this chapter, Paul writes extensively about Jesus' resurrection. And I want to pick up the reading at verse 3. I'm going to read two sections in this chapter. The first will be verses 3 through 8, and the second verses 12 through 20. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 through 8, and the second, 1 Corinthians 15, verses 12 down to verse 20. If you've got your Bible there, or I definitely encourage you to read this later, turn to 1 Corinthians 15. I'll read verses 3 through 8, and this is the Apostle Paul writing. "For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that Jesus appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 brethren at one time, most of whom remain until now, but some have fallen asleep. Then Jesus appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, as to one untimely born, Jesus appeared to me, also. That was 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 through 8. That's our second Bible passage. And as I read that, I hope that you can hear what Jesus said he would do and did in Matthew 28 is what Paul affirms Jesus did in fact do. Jesus died for our sins on the cross. Jesus was buried, and Jesus was raised on the third day. And then Jesus, in his post-resurrection and physical body, appeared to many of his followers. This, of course, proving that Jesus is alive. He has risen indeed. Now, I'll say more about this, but not yet. First, I want to get our third passage of the Bible front and center on our minds as the week begins. We'll stay in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, but move to verses 12 through 20. What I am about to read is 1 Corinthians 15, verses 12 through 20. I hope you're ready to hear the word of God with an open mind and heart. 1 Corinthians 15, I'll put in now at verse 12. Now, if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain. Your faith also is in vain. Moreover, we are even found to be false witnesses of God, because we testified against God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless. You are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If we have hoped in Christ in this life only, we are of all men most to be pitied. But now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who are asleep. That is 1 Corinthians 15, verses 12 through 20, and our third passage. So now you have heard me read Matthew 28, verses 1 through 10 and 16 through 20, and you have heard me read 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 through 8 and verses 12 through 20. And again, as always, I'd love for you to read all of this on your own this evening and before we meet again tomorrow. Let me just give you those references one more time so you can write them down. Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 through 10, and Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 through 20, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 through 8, and 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 12 through 20. If you still do not quite catch those, write to me today and ask for them. I really want you to read the Bible for yourself and see in the text what I am saying. Well, you say, Mark, that's quite a lot of scripture you've read today. Indeed it is. And my objective is to put the truth of the resurrection of Jesus Christ on your mind by rooting and grounding us in the biblical testimony of his triumph over death and the grave. And this week, in the days ahead, I'm going to take us into portions of the text I've just read. I do not have time to cover every verse, but we will get a real feel for the landscape of these passages so that we can understand what God is saying to us in our present lives. And there is an outline I want to give you so that you can follow along closely. What I want to do first is to say why the bodily, physical resurrection of Jesus Christ means so, so much to Christians. Second, I want to give you some, by all means not all, but some of the alternative explanations for the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead that skeptics give. Since skeptics reject the resurrection as described in the Bible, how then does the skeptic account for what happened to Jesus after his death? Following from that, third, I want to give you the Christians' counter-arguments against these alternative explanations. Using a certain logical criteria that I will define, I want to refute these alternative explanations. Throughout, I want to invite you to consider or reconsider what you think and what you believe. Should you know someone who does not accept that Jesus did indeed rise from the dead, call or text them and invite them to tune in all this week. Or send them the link to the God Is podcast, downloadable from our flagship station, WEZE, and have them listen. You can get that from www.590amtheword.com and click podcasts on the homepage. That's 590amtheword.com. Please do share with skeptics what you are learning. Let's get our foot in the door on this first point on our outline, and that is why the resurrection of Jesus means so much to us Christians. We find it essential that Jesus resurrected from the dead because without the resurrection, everything else we believe and accept as true is actually false. It is absolutely true that if Jesus did not live, die, that is, was crucified, and resurrect from the dead, then being a Christian is futile and meaningless. Another way to say this would be as follows. The resurrection of Jesus from the dead is so important that without it, Christianity is fraudulent. It's deceptive, dishonest, and corrupt. Everything that the Christian claims to be true crumbles and falls to nothing. The atheist is right, and the Christian is wrong. This is why the resurrection is of such paramount importance to us. A person cannot be a Christian if he or she does not believe in the resurrection. The resurrection is the foundational doctrine, belief of the Christian and of the Christian church. This is why I read to you what Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Listen to verse 17. If Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless. Wow. The Apostle Paul is right, of course. The belief in the resurrection is a crucial fact of our faith. He continues in verse 19, if we have hoped in Christ in this life only, we are of all men most to be pitied. Right again, if we are wrong about the resurrection of Jesus, then the unbeliever should pity us. So should the Christian be pitied? We'll find out as we proceed tomorrow, right here on God Is.